And welcome to another episode of General Nerd Sense, the podcast from Shieldwall Productions, where we talk about anything and everything. Generally nerdy, hence the name. And on this episode, we have myself, John.
And Jacob.
What are we doing, Jacob?
We are doing Why Are Humans Arguably One of the More Interesting and Kind of Unique Class of Species to Play.
Indeed, because there's a lot of discussion out there, a lot of people who are of the opinion of... You're in a setting where you can play all sorts of fantasy races, dwarves, elves, all that sort of thing. So why would you choose humans? Well, have a seat, because we're about to explain why you choose humans.
I mean, for me personally, I'm in this setting where I could choose to play anything. But at the same time, if I play a human, I can interact with everything else as a human. And I guess it's familiarity and...
It's easy to roleplay because...
I'm
already human. I know how to do this. Well, sort of.
And, I don't know, I feel less locked down when I play a human than if I play another species. Because for elves and dwarves, they're going to act a certain way. Orcs are going to act a certain way. Humans... And I mean, while you could make the argument of you can play it however you want, if you're playing it kind of true to the spirit of the species, they're a little bit more locked down with their personality types and traits.
Yes.
Whereas with humans, you have this diverse ability to really kind of clone or mimic any other species.
We're an adaptable species.
Yeah. And that's part of the thing, too, is the diverse background of it.
Yeah.
Like, you can have a human that was raised by dwarves. You could have a human that was raised in the city. You know, you could really go any route with it.
Right.
You can really have your human almost kind of mimic any other species.
Imprints
in the game.
On another species, yeah.
Which is just kind of cool. You know, in my opinion, you get much more ability to control your character design.
Yes. And there's people who are like, well, playing a human is boring. Humans are boring in a fantasy setting. It's like, I don't know, I feel like humans are pretty interesting, because when a master elf swordsman kicks the shit out of some demon thing, you think, yeah, of course, that's his job. But when you throw Average Joe in there, who's kind of good at farming, and he kicks the shit out of a demon, that's fucking interesting!
Yeah.
Because that is not an expected outcome. You show, like, I was a farmer! And it's like, and yes, and now you're a demon slayer. Well, okay.
Check out my brick.
Yeah!
And... I mean, that ability for humanity, fuck yeah, is also kind of a factor.
That's why it's such a good subset of fiction, where it's like, yes, humans are fucking awesome, because here's why.
They're awesome because they aren't.
Right, we are average, and we're celebrating mediocrity!
And it's really when mediocrity just triumphs over... like the unexpected, like whether you kill that dragon, kill that demon, it really wasn't an expected outcome. Like, you would have expected
on paper, Farmer Joe gets eaten by the dragon. In practice,
he killed the shit out of it.
Yes.
And that's just fun. Like, the ability to have your character go from, okay, you're just a mediocre average Joe, to demon slayer, dragon slayer, and then how your character responds to all that praise. Does he become kind of a pompous asshole? Does he kind of stay humble?
Well, yeah, because the thing with humans is that it's a trope of humanity that we commonly reject the impossible,
mm-hmm.
and do something anyway. Like, we don't let the fact that something impossible act as a roadblock. Like, naturally speaking, it's impossible for us to leave this planet, and we've done it several times now.
Yeah.
Why? Because just because something's impossible doesn't mean you don't try it anyway.
That character story as well, of just kind of spitting in the face of fate and doing...
And rejecting the status quo.
Yeah. It's entertaining to sit back and be like, yeah, this should have been impossible, but I did it.
This should not be, but it is.
And... With any other species, like, you know, if Big Bad is fighting an elf or dwarf, he has kind of some rationale to fight them. You
he
know?
Knows he, what to expect. He knows why he's fighting these beings. He knows what to expect with the elf. It's going to be master archery or master swordsmanship. From the dwarf, it's going to be, if he hits me, it's going to really hurt. But thankfully, he's very dangerous over short distances, and I can keep him away from that.
And the human's just sitting there cackling as he unscrews the pommel to his sword.
Why is he unscrewing? Just bang! Ah, he threw it at me!
Like, you know, never know what to expect with humans.
Yeah. Unless they're German. In which case you know exactly what to expect, which is absolute perfection all the time.
And very quick rush at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then freezing really quickly.
They're really good early game, but their late game play is just not great.
Russians are the exact opposite. Shitty early game.
They struggle early game, but then they get momentum.
On top of that, with humans, I feel you have a lot more ability for personal growth. You can kind of, you know, you could start off as having your character just be an asshole and, you know, not really care about anyone. But throughout the story, he can grow more attached and kind of open up.
Right.
And
whereas an elf, you're always going to look down at anything else that isn't an elf because you're an elf.
Yeah.
If you're doing the elf properly, yes, there's the Legolas and Gimli thing where Legolas got attached to, you know, Gimli. As well as the Fellowship, but that's kind of the rare example. That's what makes Legolas the exception, rather than that's how elves are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, elves aren't keen to aren't really prone to imprinting on anything that isn't an elf. Why? Because they're elves. They're the best at everything, so why should they care about something that isn't the best at anything?
Whereas, you know, you get the human, and he can straight up imprint on anything.
And it's weird.
I mean, look around you in real life examples. People have pet tarantulas and they call them cute. I don't think tarantulas are cute.
I think hit it with a stick.
But
a very long stick.
But people can really be like, hey, you know, most people don't like that, but I think that's fucking adorable.
Yes.
Look at that orc. Look at that goblin. Look at how
Steve Irwin's
up
a great example of this.
What?
Steve Irwin's a great example of this, where he just takes the most horrifying critters on earth and he's just, oh, ain't she a beauty? He's just like, no, not really.
And it's heart-
I'll take your word for it, Mr. Irwin.
And it's heartwarming to watch, too. Like,
from the safety of a TV screen. Like, on their person, I'm just sitting there going, ah!
Oh, no. No, please.
Keep the thing. I'm going to stay with me.
And it really does kind of open up the window to their interaction with non-humans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could straight up have some backstory where you hate elves. Or you could have a backstory.
Because you're rational, goddammit.
Or you can have a backstory that's like, you know what? Elves are fucking awesome. I want to be like an elf. I'm not an elf, but I'm going to try.
Right. And that also comes down to, like, because no matter how many times people play other races and factions, they still inject a hefty dose of humanity into the personality because it's what we know.
Yeah.
We don't know how to be anything else other than human. So, like, there's a story of party who was paired up with an ogre, Oogie. And Oogie really wanted to be like a dwarf because he really liked the dwarves. Yeah. I was like, that is such a human thing, but it's an ogre.
And I mean, don't get me wrong, it can happen. And like, you can still roleplay it excellently as, you know, you're an ogre, but you want to be a dwarf.
But that's such a human characteristic.
But it is, yeah. And
you could easily just be a big dumb human who just wants to be like a dwarf. You don't have to be an ogre.
I mean, granted, with that story,
because then the local peasantry aren't going to chase you out of town with pitchforks and torches.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of goes into another thing, is humans generally are the most populated species in any fantasy world.
Talk freight, we got humans. Give it a couple of generations and they'll be everywhere.
Yeah, and I mean, it's in that fact that, you know,
humans are like litter.
You're kind of at home wherever you are because there's probably going to be other humans there. And it's easy to fit in.
Right.
Where, you know, if you're a dwarf in an elven city, you're not really going
to... A, you're lost.
A, you're lost. B, you're not going to fit in as well as a human. Because even though, like, most fantasy species, they kind of look down at humans. They're like, oh, they're adorable.
Yeah, they're
really
kind of, you know, kind of like a, like... They look at humans as cute.
Mm-hmm.
Because just, like, look at them trying to do things that they're just not good at, and oh wait, they're succeeding. Oh god, they're succeeding.
Oh god, they brought siege weapons. I also kind of like the fact about humans where it's like, we aren't you know, the strongest, we aren't the most agile, but what kind of makes up for all that is our intellect and, you know, just, we don't give a fuck and we're gonna try.
We are master improvisers.
Yeah. You know, where the elf might be like, fuck, we're outnumbered, the human's like, hold up, I got this. Detonates the, you know, dynamite doing a rock slide or...
Because, Jacob, if you're not willing to shell your own position, you're not willing to win.
Exactly.
And that's something that elves and dwarves would never do.
No.
They'd be more concerned about how can we get out of this alive. Demons like, we clearly can't, but we can still win.
That stubbornness, too, for, like, achieving the goal and just winning at all costs is a very human characteristic.
Elves and dwarves would absolutely shudder at the concept of a Pyrrhic victory. They just wouldn't conscious the idea, like, of like, yeah, we could probably win this, but we could only win this once. Raymond's like, yeah, we could totally win this, and we'd win it once, but we still won.
And I kind of chalk it up to that humans are kind of spiteful, and they're like, you know what? If I can't win,
neither can you.
You're not going to win either.
Uh-huh.
Neither of us are getting out of this alive.
Listen, I'm not getting out of this alive, but you're coming with me.
But my kill streak's going to look much better.
Yeah.
And now that, like, we kind of, like, talk about, you know, that Pyrrhic victory, I think part of it, too, is that humans have a much shorter lifespan, so they are much more driven to do what they can within their lifespan.
It's like, listen, we're on a short fuse here. We're not here for long. So we're going to do what we can while we can, and we're going to love the hell out of it.
Like, dwarves, they have a couple hundred years. Elves, virtually an eternity.
Elves are like the wallpaper. They're there. They're there until you change them.
Humans are like, yeah, you know, I'm 30, and I might live till I'm, like, 60. So all this time doesn't really matter that much, but I'm going to win.
Right.
I'm going to, you know, be remembered from this victory.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a huge driving factor for, like, human characters as well. And what I try to give my characters is, you know, they have that ticking clock mentality. You know,
right.
I want to do something with my life because I don't have a whole lot of time.
Right.
Dwarves are like, you know, I've been on adventures before. I've done stuff. Elves are like, yeah, I've been there, done pretty much everything.
I've got the t-shirt from every single iteration where they changed the t-shirt.
Humans are like, well, I can't get all the t-shirts. But what I can do is steal all the t-shirts of this one batch.
Right. I can't get all the different t-shirts, but I can get all of this one. Why? Because I don't want anyone else to have it, because then it won't be special.
Also, humans have a whole lot of interesting quirks that you can play.
Yes.
Quirks, phobias, like, whereas I feel elves are kind of, you know, snobbish where, oh, why would I be afraid of that? You know, it doesn't hurt me.
Are your elven warriors as fearless as they claim? Yes. That's their job. What about your human warriors? Are they as fearless as it's claimed? God, no. So why are they your warriors? Because no one else is going to do it. And they're terrified every step of the way, but they're still there.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, as humans...
Why do you think we give them the brown pants?
As humans, too, we relate...
That was a poop joke.
We relate to that so much more as well. You know, when a dwarf stands fast and, like, holds the line, he's...
Obviously. That's their job.
Yeah. But when a human does it, you know, when everyone else is falling and the human, you know, picks up the shield and is like, I'm not moving a fucking step back.
It's just, it's more inspiring because humans, it's weird because humans have that kind of duality where, like, they're squishy, they're soft, they're fearful.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it makes sense that they'd be the first to run in the sign of shit's going sideways. And yeah, a lot of them will. And then there'll be that small handful or just that one who just picks up that fallen shield, a fallen warrior, even if it's not, you know, fallen elven warrior, fallen dwarven warrior, just like... Yeah, it's about my size. Anyway, I'm standing here and you're not getting past me. That's what makes it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because why know why it's a human? Because the elves and dwarves have died to an elf and a dwarf. Like, they're dead. They just did that and they didn't do it very well. Meanwhile, the humans are there standing or they did it and they're like, okay, we're going to pull back because we're taking losses. The humans are just like, fuck it, it's bad. And then there's that viewer just like, but we were told to stay here.
Yeah. And... I mean, for, like, 40K, for example, when I first got introduced to the hobby, I got brought in and, like, I walked in because I thought it was similar to a GameStop. Oh, how wrong I was.
You and everyone else.
I
do you still have video games here? No, get out!
But, you know, I stayed and I was interested because, you know, I walked in and I was like, there are no video games in here. And the store owner at the time was like, good observation. I'm like, so what is this? And, you know, he was showing me all the different armies and stuff. And he's like, choose whatever is coolest to you. So I'm looking through and, you know, I see Chaos Demons. I see Eldar. I see Orcs. I see all this shit. And then I see the little lowly Lasgun guy. Who has to fight against all this other shit? That's the coolest for me. You know, like,
in a world, in a universe that is just full of this overpowered, broken and overpowered nightmare fuel. You want to know what's coolest? It's not any of the overpowered, broken nightmare fuel. It's the dude with the las gun. Want to know why? Because he's not overpowered, broken nightmare fuel. He's you. He's you with a laser gun. And it's not even a very good one.
No.
It's comparable to a modern day AR.
Yeah.
But that's what makes him cool. It's like, we have just taken our modern day G.I. Joe and shoved him into a nightmare universe, and he's kind of doing okay. Asterisk. There's a lot of quantifying statements there.
Why would you choose
him on his own? Not great. Him with like 10,000 of his closest buddies? Yeah, that'd do okay.
Why do you choose human? Because there's a fuck ton of us and we all have las guns.
Can't argue with it.
Yeah. And again, that relatability of being able to be like, okay, you know, all this shit is cool, but I'm kind of relating to the guy who, he has a las gun, he's being paid shit to be in this trench to fight all this nightmare fuel, but he's going to do it anyways, because that's his job.
And also, he's been voluntold.
Voluntold, but...
Right.
You get those...
He won the wrong kind of lottery.
Yeah, you get those stories like Alanis Pius. You know, even after a fucking Primarch has been killed, Lanus Pius comes in and he's like, fuck you. I'm not falling back.
I'll bite your legs off!
'Tis but a flesh wound.
I just imagine being Horus in that situation. You are like the Primarch of all Primarchs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking down at the squishy little guardian and he's just like, come on then. What do I do with this?
Like, do I fight him? You know, I don't win if I fight him, because if I killed him, I killed a guardsman. If I lose, I got killed by a guardsman.
It's just like, this feels like a trap. It feels like he knows something I don't. It feels like he's got a chance of beating me if he's challenging me. I don't like this. This is making me really uncomfortable.
What I also really like about human characters as opposed to any other species in D&D or any role-playing game is just what's unique. One of the most unique things about human characters is each of them have their own personal code.
Yes.
Like, you can get a rogue who's, you know, the sleaziest, will steal money off anyone, you know, kill anyone if it pays them, but, you know, he won't hurt dogs or won't hurt children.
Right.
And at the same time, you have a paladin who's like the most honorable bulwark of faith, but, you know, he has a special aversion against magic users.
Right. Which is strange, because paladins are very good at magic in D&D 5th Ed.
Yeah. I always...
But then again, who isn't?
Very true. I mean, I'm playing a shield class, and I get...
You get magic.
Yeah. You get magic, everyone gets magic.
Bards are the go-to powerhouse of magic currently.
Very true.
You want to win, you bring a bard. But that's not what this podcast is about.
No.
No, and the podcast is you want to win, you bring a human. Why? Because he won't take defeat as an option.
Yeah. And also, humans are just jack-of-all-trades by nature.
Yes.
Where you might have, you know, an elf who had specialized in the bow, and that's the only thing he does. Humans are like, you know, I can kind of use a bow. I can also kind of use this sword, this, you know, shield. I'm kind of good at a couple things.
I mean, there is that Bruce Lee quote, you know, I don't fear the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks. I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times. And he's like, you know, I understand the logic there, but I'm pretty afraid of the guy who's practiced 10,000 different things once. Because that means when he goes back to try any of them, he won't be very good at it. So literally anything can happen. Whereas you go against the guy who's done one thing 10,000 times, like, you know exactly how that's going to go.
Yeah. He's going to kick you really well. But if you've done a couple different, you know, kicks that could probably counter that, and you've done maybe those kicks 500 times, a bunch of different ones, you have a decent chance of beating him.
Just because, like, he'll be expecting it to be perfect, and it ain't.
And I think that's kind of another factor with humans as well, is it's never perfect. Like, if we did things perfectly, you could easily counter it.
Right.
But since we kind of flub a lot of the time, there's a possibility that when we fail, we're going to fail in the way that most benefits us.
Right. Like, nothing will go according to plan, but it's still going to work out in our favor.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't know what went wrong. You'll just know that it did.
And
we won't know what went wrong. We'll just know that it did, but also it doesn't matter because we won. Fuck you.
And that ability for humans to be natural improvisers is also there. I don't really think any other species comes to mind where they can improvise as readily as humans.
Orcs?
They don't really improvise, though. Unless you're talking, like, 40k orcs.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Like, 40k orcs is a good one, because it's just like, I have slapped together a bunch of sheet metal in the vague form of a gun. I have improvised the form of a gun, and now it's killing the shit out of you. Because I believe.
Though, funny you should mention it, that orcs and humans are kind of similar in 40k.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I mean, what is a wa, but, you know,
for the Emperor.
For the Emperor, like a human crusade. And I kind of
like... Slightly less well-organized, not as prone to... you kill the leader and then the rest will... You know, you cut off the head and the body will eat itself. Like, there's a lot of more preventative stopgaps in place to keep the whole thing from collapsing.
Yeah.
In the human crusade compared to the orc wog.
At the same time, like, orcs believing things happen and humans' faith has a very strange similarity in 40K.
This is heresy, Sarah.
It is. But you see it, don't you?
Yes.
Also, like, from at least most systems, humans are the luckiest out of all the species.
Goddamn, they don't have anything else going for them.
Yeah.
They've got just generally average stat possibilities across the board.
But generally the highest luck factor.
Yes.
And I kind of like to believe that it's, you know, the gods of D&D. They're like, you know, all these other species, they have, you know, they're given abilities that we've given them. We don't really have anything to give humans, so we'll just kind of give them the benefit of the doubt. If it looks fun, we'll give it to them.
Yeah. Have they done something interesting? Have they tried to do something interesting? Yes, let's have it work out. Why not?
I like to believe that, you know, the gods keep humans around and let them succeed as much as they do. They're just entertaining. It's the chaos that just entertains the gods. They're like, you know, if we pit elves and dwarves...
It's going to be very predictable. We know how this is going to go.
But if we pit, you know, humans versus dwarves, we don't know what the humans are going to do. They're going to pull something crazy out of their ass.
Yes. Like, they won't dig as well as dwarves, but they'll still dig under the dwarves and blow the whole goddamn mountain up. Why? Because it's interesting.
There's also an interesting duality with humans where they can be both selfish and giving.
Yeah. Like, humans have a lot more flexible morality
than
dwarves. It's true. Elves and dwarves, they have a certain degree of just kind of ingrained biological levels of honor and morality, and, you know, they will generally behave in a certain way. Whereas humans just like, well, we understand that morality... It's best if it's not necessarily set in stone in a fantasy universe. Like, listen, we need to be flexible, so we're going to be flexible.
You know, if...
I don't care where you got the money. I don't care how you got the money.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the money? Good. We can do business.
And also...
Whereas elves and dwarves would be very, you know, they'd get hung up on where did you get the money? How did you get the money?
Oh, you got money? Great. That's the straight up human reaction.
Do you have the money? Yes. Cool. I don't care where it came from.
Don't tell me. I don't care.
Don't tell me. I don't care. I don't want to know. I have nothing to do with that. We have it now. That's all that matters. It's not going to follow us. Right? It's not going to follow us. You were careful. You were thorough.
It's so true.
You were thorough in doing the thing I don't want to know about.
It didn't happen. I don't care. As long as it doesn't bite us in the ass, I don't need to know.
Well, about that. So it might bite us in the ass. Okay, then you need to go back and clean up your work. Whatever it was. I don't want to know. Whereas elves and dwarves would be like, so how'd you get the money? You what? No, we can't take this money. We can't use this money. You gotta go.
We have to give it back.
We have to give it back and undo it.
What do you mean you stole all this money from the temple?
Well, it wasn't gonna be used. It was just sitting in the fountain. They collect that. Well, they weren't collecting at the time.
So how'd you get this money? Can you guess? My pants are wet. And my sleeves.
Listen, I'm wet from the knees down and the elbows down. Where do you think this money came from? Splish splash, I was taken a bath and got some coins.
I'll give you a hint, a lot of kids' wishes aren't gonna come true.
Yeah.
I also see...
But guess what? Ours are!
Also, it's... Like, if a elven soldier asked, like, a high elven general some stupid question...
A, that's not gonna happen, because the elven soldier ain't talking to the general.
Yeah. And it's just this strict honor-bound thing. But with humans, you get that Homer Simpson of, what's a poop deck? A deck? I like the cut of your jib. What's a jib? Promote this man. Like, humans, they're more flexible. And I mean, you still have those asshole humans that are like, why are you, you know, a grunt talking to me? But you also get those generals who are like, you know what? You have a lot of balls talking to me. I like guys with a lot of balls. You're a lieutenant now.
Yes. But pretty much, though.
It's true. And I think also humans have the best sense of humor out of all the species.
Well, because everyone else's sense of humor is rather abstract compared to humans.
Yeah. Elves is non-existent.
So, I don't know. It could be said that, you know, the sense of humor of other races and species is alien. Because it is!
Yeah.
We have no frame of reference for it because we're not elves. We're not dwarves. We're humans. We're squishy. We're squishy meatbags, and so are they, but they're slightly less squishy and they live longer.
I also see that humans have the most, like, gallows humor out of all the species. Like,
right, dwarves and elves are going to be so hung up that they're about to be hung up.
Yeah.
Whereas humans are just going to make jokes at the gallows.
It's true. Like, what are your last words? And a human does a knock-knock joke.
Yeah.
Knock-knock. Who's there? Rope. Rope what? Well, getting hanged. Jumps off the little ladder or whatever.
Or, like, you famous, know? Or famous, I think, someone, like, some murderer or whatever whose last name was, French, who's being sentenced to the electric chair. He's like, hey guys, how about this for headline? French fries. And then they drop the switch. He's literally moments from death and he makes a French fry joke.
Yeah. Or there's this famous photo of a Soviet spy getting caught by the Germans in World War II. And there was a photo taken of him right before he got shot. And he just has this shit-eating grin because he refused to give them any information of who he was or what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And he's just standing there, like, smiling and, like, just has this shit-eating grin as he's about to be shot by Germans.
Yep.
And he doesn't care. Yep. He's already won.
Yeah. Do what you must. I have already won.
I think part of that goes into the adaptability of humans. Yes. Like, you know, if a human's in a fucked up situation, all he has is his humor.
Yes.
Everything else has been taken. Can't take his humor, though.
You will try.
You will try, but he's the funniest guy he knows.
And that's just it. It's like, you can't take a person's sense of humor. It has to be given willingly.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that there's shit that just... It's grimdark, it's gritty, but, like, that doesn't mean you can't laugh at it. You're just choosing not to.
It's true. And I
remove the stick from thine anus and laugh!
And I guess I also relate to that, like, joking sense of humor, because most of my characters are going to joke about pretty much anything.
Yeah.
I guess it's an indicator of my gallows humor in real life, but...
I'd also be horrified at the concept of Fitchy and Scratchy. Humans think it's goddamn hilarious.
Yeah.
It's like, he's just impaled the small rodent. This is horrible. Why are you laughing? It's because it's funny. Why? Because it's a cartoon. We are able to detach a little bit, empathetically wise.
I don't think elves would also understand how, you know, Itchy and Scratchy every night try to take over the world, but continue to try after they fail that many times.
That's Pinky and the Brain.
Oh.
Itchy and Scratchy is The Simpsons.
Fuck.
Hyperviolent.
Yeah, I'm...
Mouse and Cat.
I'm sorry, I'm a little screwed up right now, but yeah, right Pinky now? And the Brain. There we go.
Yeah. and one is a genius and the other is insane. But Brain isn't the genius. There's an episode where just, the creators are just like, yeah, no, Brain isn't the genius here. He's the crazy one. Pinky is the genius. He corrects Brain's math, and that's why they keep failing.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, that's not right. And Brain's like, how could you be? And then someone, like, math professor, like, someone looked at the actual equation that was on the screen and solved it, and the correction that Pinky made was correct. Brain is the idiot.
But, elves wouldn't understand, like, elves and dwarves, they would be like, if you failed that many times, why not just give up? And humans are like, you know what?
Because that's no reason, just because you failed a million times is no reason to give up. You just keep trying until you just get something right.
And that kind of warms your heart, you know? Even though your character's been knocked down a bunch of times in their backstory, they're going to get up and keep trying.
They get knocked down, but they get up again.
Get knocked up, and they get down again.
Are they ever going to keep me down? But I think that, in a nutshell, that's why humans are interesting. That's why you choose humans.
Yeah.
It's because they're interesting. That's not to say that elves and dwarves and all those other things, those aren't interesting choices as well. But humans get a lot of shit as choices in tabletop RPGs.
They do.
And now we've shoveled it away. And shown that it's kind of unjustly deserved.
Yeah. And, I don't know, I guess also, that underdog factor of...
It does come down to that as well, yes.
You know, humans, they get a lot of shit, and that's why I like to play them, is, you know, I want to be the exception that's like, you know, humans aren't always shit. They can a lot of times go further than most other people.
Listen, just because, yeah, humans might be shit, but, it's also, you know, shit can get a lot done. You can kill people with shit and get it in some open wound. That's sepsis right there.
Hey, I mean, it wasn't the elf, it wasn't the dwarf that, you know, summoned a demon to end the world. It was a doctor who didn't even practice magic.
Second point. Yes.
Yeah. Ultimately, you know, out of all the people, it wasn't any of the magic casters. It wasn't any of the elves or dwarves who have arcane knowledge. It was the doctor who was just trying to be the best goddamn doctor he could ever be. And he summoned the end times by...
being interested
mostly by himself.
Yes. Because of his weird fascination with crows.
Crows and, you know, dead things.
Yes. But, yeah.
And when you get an unexpected outcome like that, it's just all
you're not getting that from an elf or a dwarf.
No. For one, they wouldn't want to do it. Two, you know, it's...
they'd understand that they, you know, this is a thing that could happen.
And they'd go about it in such a predictable way that it wouldn't happen. The doctor, he wasn't even planning it. He just kind of followed the wave until shit started going real downhill real quick.
Yep. But he rode it straight to hell.
It was worth it all the way.
Yep. And that's the point.
Yeah.
Humans, they'll commit to a cause and they'll ride it to hell.
If it was a magic caster who did it, it wouldn't have been as great.
No, because, like, well, duh, obviously the magic caster summoned a demon and brought about 1,000 years of darkness. That's what they do.
Wait, what do you mean the person who didn't even have any specialization in magic,
who
couldn't even cast a spell, did it?
But seriously, though.
Yeah.
Anyway. I think that's about all we got in defense of humans.
Yeah, at least for now.
For now. We'll come up with more later.
Probably.
As we tend to, along the way. But yes, dear listeners, if you would like to add to the defense of humans as a choice in tabletop role-playing settings, head on over to our Facebook page, HealWallProductions@facebook.com.
Or head on over to our official, our Twitter account, at the official SWP, whether or not you want to bring me great stories that you have of human characters, or you just want to shoot the shit and talk, more than happy to do that as well.
Indeed. And wherever you're listening to us too, be it iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever, do not forget to subscribe if you're not subscribed already. And before we go, Jacob, you did flub that one bit, so. And we shall catch you next time. Toodles!